Good morning. This is the month of Thanksgiving. So we're going to be singing this week and next week some songs of Thanksgiving and praise to God for all he's done, all of his blessings that he's laid on our lives. Is there anything anyone wants to share about what they're thankful for? Sunshine, yes, this week, today. What you got? What did she say? Her baby brother. Okay. All the prayers that God has answered. Amen. All right, if you'll stand, we're going to sing Thank You, Lord, and thank him for everything he is doing for us.
Speaking in tongues here now. All right. We are so happy that you're here today. The Lord is good. And we are excited to be in the house of the Lord. There is no better place than to be in the house of the Lord. We're still praying for revival, that God will just visit Fort Valley, Pitch County. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you are here for the first time, we'd love for you to fill our care card right here. If you first time, second time, or you have a prayer request, just put it in the offering plate. I want to say welcome to my mother-in-law is here. Suegra, thank you for being here. As you can see, I'm well behaved today. So So we're excited that you're here today, and we're just here to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe we have a scripture up here. We have a scripture, and we're going to go ahead and read it together, if you don't mind. It obviously says, praise the Lord. Help me, please.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord,
my soul.
I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Praise the Lord. Go ahead.
As we continue to thank God for the things he's done in our life, we're going to sing Count Your Blessings, hymn 585. Particular song three times, and I thought God must be speaking to me. It was been a while back, but the part of the song that stuck with me is when it says, bind my wandering heart to thee, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I don't know whether he was speaking to me that week specifically about something. I just remember hearing that song three times in a week span. And then it says, here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. So it reminded me, whatever was going on in my life at the time, I just needed to make sure that I was giving my whole heart to God.
Sing thy praise, streams of
time for the children to go to children's church. And the ushers. Hold on, children, not yet.
Oh,
Thank you so much. We give God the glory. The Lord is good. We give God the glory. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have just a little activity here, and I'm going to ask the children if they would come here, please. If they would come up front just for a little activity that we're going to do to help me out today. All right. Thank you so much. This is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Let's give an applause to these children, por favor. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming. Now, do you like to play games? Favorite game? What is your favorite game? Uno. How many like Uno? How many like Dos? Oh, never mind. Another game? Bingo. Okay. Simon Says. Okay. Minecraft. What about you? Okay, good. That's great. Okay. All right. What about you? Roblox. Okay. Never heard of that one, but it's okay. No problem. I need your help. Look at the screen up there. I got 6 differences up there, and if you can just choose 3, that'd be fine. So who's first? If you can pick 2 differences, just one difference between the house at the top and the one at the bottom. Okay, what is one difference? Hello, guys. Okay. Which one, what did you find? The porcupine. Good. All right, what about you? Okay, the chimney, yeah. Roof. Okay, good. What about you?
On the tree on the right, the flower nearest the trunk on the first branch has a gust of wind on the top, and it doesn't have a gust of wind on the bottom.
Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah. I'm going to figure that one out. And I've been looking at it the whole week. Thank you so very much. I appreciate it. Favorite team, football team? Go Dawgs! Yeah. Yeah, we got some fans over here. There we go. What's your favorite team? The Buffalo Bills. All right. What about you? You like football? No? Huh? Kind of? Okay. What about you? Georgia. Another Georgia fan right here. All right. You have a favorite team? No? Georgia? Georgia. Okay. Well, thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it. Give an applause to the kids. Thank y'all. Thank you very much. Oh, you find another one? The flower is different. That's right. Yes. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Thank you, Ms. Belinda. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. All right. We're going to talk about 2 houses. Today, 2 different kind of houses today as we continue our series and finish up the series from the Sermon on the Mount, Lessons from the Mountaintop. In your program, in the bulletin, you'll see now that you have something to write your notes if you care to write some notes there. We thank Ms. Melanie for that, and thank you for Hermana Maria for suggesting that. We appreciate you very much. And so we are going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 24 through 29. And in reverence to God's word, I'm going to ask you to please stand. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. But whoever who hears these things of mine and does not do them, I will like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So it was when Jesus had ended his sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings, and for he taught them as one having authority not as the scribes. Father, we thank you for your word. May you speak to us today in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. We continue in the lesson from the mountaintop. This is obviously the ending of that time that Jesus is spending with his apostles, his disciples up in the mountain, and he's talking to them, pouring his heart at them, and teaching them things that are about to come, things that are going to occur, and just preparing them for the journey, you know. And so here he comes, and in this section, it is called the closing. It's the closing. So he's finishing up, and as we said last week, he's fixing to finish. Fixing to finish. He's not quite there yet, but he's fixing to finish. I remember I had a gentleman from Waycross, Georgia, said one time, he said, "I'm fixing to come." We used to live in Tifton. And so I told my wife, "We got to get the house ready, honey." He said he's fixing to come. We never saw him, never heard from him for the next 20 years. So I guess he's still fixing to come. Still fixing to come. But anyway, Jesus here is final. He's completing, he's pouring out with them, and he's telling them the things that are about to come here, and he offers here an invitation to hear. For it says, verse 24, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." So it's an invitation to hear. It's to hear, you know, and we need to learn to hear. We need to learn to hear. First of all, we need to hear the word for salvation. We need to hear the word for salvation. It says here in John 5:24, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears the word here, my words, and believes him, he who sent me has eternal life, and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." So we have to hear. It's about hearing the word of God. We have to hear the word of God. When we hear the word of God, then our belief begins to kick in. And now we believe what we heard. And it is powerful when we hear God's word. So the Lord says here, he's talking to them, and they need to hear. It says also in, it says that the disciples in Mark 10, they ask him, he said, "Who could be saved?" they ask. You know, when you hear the word, it touches the heart, and it activates the fact that we are missing something, that there is a void in our lives. And when we hear the word, it causes our attention, you know. So in Mark 10:27, he said, it is impossible, he said, when they talk about the rich man, it is impossible then for anyone to be saved. It's obviously, it is impossible for men to be saved, but not for God. God is the one who saves. He takes the honor and the glory. He was sent specially to die on our cross so that we may be saved. So we come to faith in Christ by hearing the word of God. When we hear the word of God, God begins to speak to us, to stir our hearts, that we need him. And we all need Jesus. We all need the Lord. Everybody needs the Lord. And the voice is out, and the Lord and the word of God is spreading throughout the world. And people are coming to know Christ from all walks of life. It's interesting what happens. If you look at the end of that verse, it says, "But has crossed over from death to life." How powerful is God's word when we hear it? That we go from crossovering from death to life. We become alive when we have Jesus in our hearts. We become alive when Jesus comes into our lives. We finally find what we're looking for. If we look like we lost something, we're looking for it, and we find it, and we find great joy when we have it. You know, we always go through everyday life. You know, you lose your glasses. Everybody loses their phone. Amen. And when you find it, you feel so much joy. And then you it again, and then you have joy again. But listen, when Jesus comes in your heart, it's eternal. It is an eternal joy, and it's an eternal peace. And listen, we hear the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, maybe the Lord is talking to you today, that you need to be saved. Listen, there is no other way to be saved except through Christ. He is the living, he is the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for our sins. And nothing in this world can save us except the Lord. No one can save us. No one. But we also hear the word for faith development. They needed to hear the word. They were up in the mountain, and they needed to hear the word. He separated them, isolated them, disconnected from the world. They didn't have cell phones up there. There was no AT&T tower up there, up in the mountain, you know. And he just wanted to talk with them, and they needed to hear the word for faith development. You know, it's a process. It's a process. Once we hear the word of God, and listen, and Jesus comes to live in us, the Spirit of God dwells in our hearts, then there's this process of faith development. They needed to hear the word. Listen, there were times that were going to come. There were storms that were coming. There were things that were going to be part of their lives, of their journey, and they needed to be ready. And you know, when you become a believer, something happens. When trials and tribulations come our way, it's a different scenario. I believe when you do not know God, these things happen. God is drawing you to him. But once you know the Lord, once you know God, God uses these things for our faith development. He uses those things in our lives, those storms in our lives, for a completely different setting here. It is for our faith development so that we can grow. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2 says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spirit to people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. There is a process of growth, and we all need to grow. We all need to grow. There is no age limit here. We all need to grow. We need to grow spiritually. We need to grow in our faith. We need to have more faith. We need to trust the Lord. Listen, there will be circumstances. And we cannot be running to Bank of America every month. There's a time where we got to stand and say, Lord, you're going to provide. Amen? No, amen, amen. What happened to my Nehemiah choir today? No, amen, amen. We can be, listen, sometimes you just got to say, Lord, I'm just going to take this one. Come on, bring it to me. I'm going to stand here by faith. I'm going to trust you, and you're going to pull me out of this one. There's got to be a day. Amen? I think I had too much coffee this morning. Thank you, Miss Carla. Where is Miss Carla? All right. Anyway, there is time that we got to stand. We got to stand. We got to grow in our faith. Sometimes we're too, like Paul was talking to the Corinthian church. They said, you're not growing. Need some solid food, you know. You can't be running from things. There are things that we need to overcome in our lives that are affecting our lives. We need to grow. Sometimes we're insecure. Sometimes we're jealous. Sometimes we got too much envy on us. Listen, we need to overcome those things. We need to grow out of those things. We cannot be nailed down. We can't have those chains because we are free now in Christ. But we need to grow. We need to grow. So there's this sense of faith development. But also we need to hear the word out of obedience. We have to grow in the process with our Lord, in our walk with Christ, as a Christian, as a new believer. But now, listen, we also need to hear the word out of obedience. Hebrews 10, it says here, and let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, we need to congregate. We need to congregate. We need to hear the word out of obedience. We need to listen. God did not just save you and say, okay, you're saved now, you're on your way, everything is good. No, he said, I want you to grow now. But then listen, you need to come to, you're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the body of Christ now. I want you to serve. I'm giving you spiritual gifts so you to serve me, to serve me in the house. There's ministry out there that needs to take place. Listen, so it's not just I'm saved and I'm done and I'm just going to stay home. Listen, can you imagine why in the world would God save you just for you to leave, stay home? No, listen, we need to congregate. We need to fellowship with one another. You know, we need to eat together, eat pizza together. We need to pray together. We need to encourage one another. We need to congregate. We need to come together because we are the body of Christ and we are one in Jesus Christ. That's what we are. And so listen, we cannot say, okay, I'm just going to stay home. That is not the purpose of God. God's purpose is for us to congregate. He wants us to. You see, back in Hebrews, there were people who had made it a habit. They said, I just go to church on my birthday and for Christmas, and maybe I show up in Easter. That's not what God said. That's what these people say in Hebrews. Listen, we got to be here. We got to know each other. We got to know our behavior patterns. We need to encourage one another. We need each other. We need each other. We live in this world. Listen, this world is tough to live out there. You know, Christianity is not the most popular thing out there. Listen, you can talk about football, you can talk about anything, but if you name Jesus, your conversation will stop right there. But when you come to the house of the Lord, you can praise the Lord and you'll be understood. Amen. When you're struggling, you will be understood here. We need each other. Don't stay home. Come to the house of the Lord. Come Wednesday night. We have a great time on Wednesday night. Come when the church meets. Come and sing in the praise team. Come. Come to Sunday school. Come. Don't stay home. Don't stay home. He wanted them to hear the word for the renewal of their mind. You see, now we are believers. Once we come to know Christ, we're believers. But listen. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Can you imagine that? Think about that. That we have the mind of Christ. And look at what Romans says. 12:1-2. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. You see, when we come, listen, we are raw. Now God begins to shape us, and we need to hear the word of God. And the Lord begins to transform us the way we think. We need to understand that we were dead, like John 5:24 we just read. He says, you were dead and now you're alive. Wow. Now this process begins, so transformation. But it all starts in the mind. You see, if I tell somebody, you're a dog, you're a dog, you're a dog, guess what's going to happen? He's going to start barking. And we can take him to the Georgia football game. We have a new Ugga now. The same thing with Christian. We are now believers in Christ. Now we got to think Christ-like. I got to know that my wife has a new husband who's in process of holiness. Amen? A new wife, process of holiness. So we need to hear the word. We need to hear the word. If you become a believer, now company has a new employer. You got a holy person now walking with Jesus doing a job. It's a process. And so we need to understand that we need to be renewed of the mind, because now, you see, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? New creation, new creature. New. We're not who we used to be. We're not. Our names are written in the book of life. We've been studying Philippians 3:20. It says that now our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. We now at 101 Streets of Gold Boulevard. Amen? Now I got to live like a heavenly citizenship here on earth. That's what we are. And so now, but the mind has to be renewed. Now when I look in the mirror, I said, I'm a child of God, born again, heaven bound. That's who I am. That's my new identity in Christ. You have a new identity in Christ once you come to know the Lord. And now we need to live it out. We need to live it out. So we hear the word. Jesus says, you need to hear the word. Hear the word. Because every believer needs the word of God. Every believer needs the word of God. It is the lifeline of our faith. We need the word of God. We all need to hear the word of God. We all need to be preached at. We all need to be taught. We all need it. All need it. Listen, until God calls us home, we need to be growing in our faith. We need to be growing in understanding. We cannot say, listen, I'm done. I had it. I did that already. No, no, no. We never stop growing here. You know why? Because we're following the King of Kings. Oh, he is holy. God is holy. We're following the Holy One, the perfect one. So there's always going to be room for improvement. Always. We all need to improve until the Lord calls us home. Oh, what a glorious moment that will be. When we're home, finally home, no more taxes, no more elections. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He has won all the races throughout history. So, we need to hear the word of God. To be able to do the word of God. We got to be able to hear the word of God so we can do the word of God. You see, sometimes if you're not careful, you only become a hearer. You sit here and you listen and you go home and the next Sunday comes and you hear it and you become in a cycle. But God did not say just to hear the word of God. He did not take him up there to the mountain just to tell him, I just want you to hear me for these two chapters I'm going to give you, and then you can go home and don't worry about it. I wish it was that easy. Do you know that at the end of all of this, we're going to have to give an account for this new life that he has given us? It's not over. One day, you and I will stand before God, and it's not going to be a family affair. It's just me and the Lord to give an account for everything good and bad that I've done in this new life that he's given me. What did you do, the Lord said, with everything that I gave you? Are you kidding me? You have resurrection power in you. You have the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, living in you. What did you do with it? What did you do with the talents and the gifts that I gave you? You were complete in Christ. What did you do? Did you just hear the word? Did you come and complain about the color of the carpet? Are you just complaining that the AC is too low or too high? Listen, you got resurrection power. You can take my word and other people will come in here. Listen, God wants to use us for his glory. There is a lost community where we live, and people need Jesus, and he's equipped us. We are complete in Christ to take the good news. They were not just to stay up in the mountain and hear a good sermon and come down. No, they needed to be doers of the word. They need to be, and look, James says in 1:22, have brother of Christ right here, he says, do not merely listen to the word, and so deceiving yourself, you deceive yourself, do what it says. Jesus said, go and make disciples. That's what Jesus said. We got to go. You've been equipped, you've been trained. We had guests at my house this week. Probably you have the same guests too. And this lady was trying to convince me that this is it, that we're going to live on earth eternally. And I said, and they were going house to house telling people, you need to accept what the teachers that we're giving you, because you're going to spend eternity here on earth. And I said, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that if we to be absent from the body is to be present before God. The Bible says that the rich man and Lazarus both died, and one went to hell and the other one went to heaven. I said, and yet they were going house by house teaching this thing. And I said, what about us? We've been on the mountaintop, and we know the truth. We got the Bible here. We got the word. We got the Spirit of God living in us. She said, oh, no, the Spirit is just a force, she said. Don't believe in that. I said, what? What about the Comforter? Jesus said he was going to leave the Comforter, and now he's going to live in us. Listen, but it does me no good if he's just up here. I got to go out there and tell other people. We got to go. If we're going to have revival, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we got to go. Not just be hearers of the word. It's about time that we get going. Sometimes have you ever had problems with your car and we got a little stuttering problem, you know? Alternator may be bad or something. Some people say, hit him with a hammer, he'll crank. If it's a stick shift, you can actually push it down the hill and it will crank. We got to get going. We got to take the gospel. James said, just don't be hearers of the word. We need to be doers of the word. We got to implement it. We got to start praying and finding ways to share the gospel with people that we know, our friends, our peers, people out in the street that we meet in the supermarket or wherever God may take us. We need to share with them. We need to tell them that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is coming, that, listen, their sins have been forgiven. We need to tell them. We need to tell them. We must implement the word in our daily lives. We need to implement this word. He was not just up in the mountain, just having a retreat. He wanted to make sure that they understood that things in life are not easy, that storms were coming, And he talked about these two houses, and he said, "For whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall." So, how can we build a solid foundation? How can we build a solid foundation? Number one, each one of us is following Christ. It's personal. You got to follow the Lord. I need to talk to Dennis, and I need to say, "Dennis, stop it." Have you ever talked to yourself? Quit complaining. Complaining is not a gift. Dennis, distraction is not a gift. That's my gift, distraction. I get distracted for anything. Sometimes I say, "Lord, in the morning when I wake up, I try. It's a battle between my cell phone and the Bible. It's a battle. Lord, can you just let me, can I just go and find out who won Thursday night football, please? I just wanted to see the score, Lord, okay?" And then I realize that college football happened too. And so I go from NFL to college football, and then I got to find out who won between Peach County in the first round. WMAC, here I come. And next thing you know, I don't have the devotional of that morning. Listen, you and I need to talk in the mirror and say, "Look at you. You remember that movie, Finding Nemo? Remember that movie, Finding Nemo? There was one of the little characters, I love her. Her name was Flo. Flo would talk to herself. She would say, "Good morning, Flo, how are you?" And it was her. Sometimes we need to just talk to ourselves. Okay, Dennis, get on the word. Pray. Get to praying. I was reading something about Martin Luther. He said, "If I don't pray 2 hours before my day starts, the devil's got an advantage over me today." You and I are following Christ. And as Christ followers, we cannot just be hearing the word. It's got to become a reality in our lives. We're following Christ. That's what we're doing. We are following the Lord. And when he comes, when the storm comes, and they're going to come, I don't know, but it seems like every week something's happening in my house. 3 weeks ago, we had to repair the car. I said, "Well, if I give up this next week, I'm okay." AC broke. Still working on it. Now, I said, "Okay, the AC, now we still got to pay, haven't got the bill yet. But the next storm is coming. Dental work." But if I am fed spiritually, I'm going to confront that differently. If I'm in the Word, if I'm praying, if I'm seeking God, if I'm serving God, when it comes, who's next? For I know my Lord will supply all my needs according to riches in glory. Or if I'm not ready, I can't believe this is happening to me, Lord. I serve you. I don't know what's going on, Lord. I mean, we just can't get out of this thing. It's one thing to another. And Jesus said, what are you talking about? You have resurrection power. You're fully equipped. I will provide. I love the picture of Abraham going to sacrifice Isaac. You remember what he said before he left to the mountaintop? The boy and I shall return. In South Georgia language, the youngin' and I will be back. We're fixing to come. When you are in Christ, when you're in the Word, when you follow the Lord, it makes a big difference. When the storm comes, you got to be in the Word. How do we get a solid foundation? You need to understand that we're following Christ. There's nothing God does not know. He knows everything. He hears everything. He knows everything about us. He even told Moses, don't make one more step. I'm watching you. Not one more step. Take your feet. Take the sandals off. Don't make one more step. Can you imagine one more step? Just one more. God is seeing everything. Everything. He knows everything. He sees everything. He knows everything. Solid foundation. Remember, you're following Christ. He knows what you're going through. He knows the storm that you're going through right now. He knows it. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. You got to stay in the Word. We're on a solid foundation. First Baptist, we got to stay in the Word. This morning, Mark 10, that was my breakfast. Start with, get a book and go. A chapter a day. A can a week is all we ask. One chapter a day. Can you imagine that? What happens? Solid foundation. And then ask yourself, Lord, what did you tell me this morning? Or whether in the evening, whatever you want to have it. Say the Word. Listen, you got to learn to pray. We got to learn to pray. We cannot be reacting to things. We've got to be ready to confront what's ahead of us. We got to be prayed up. Is that a good language? Good word? Prayed up. I need to Google it when I get home. Prayed up. We need to learn to pray. Start praising the Lord in the morning. Think about that. You can get up in the morning and you can complain about everything. You can complain about the weather. You can complain, oh, so many hurricanes. Oh, all this traffic. Or you can get up in the morning, Lord, I just want to praise you that I am up this morning. Thank you that I can see that sun. Or you can complain about everything. You know, complaining is not a gift. It's not a spiritual gift. How many of you think complaining is a spiritual gift? It's not. You get up in the morning, you say, thank you, Jesus, you woke me up this morning. I thank you, and you look at your lovely spouse, you say, thank you for my beautiful bride. Thank you for my wife. Good morning, honey, how are you doing? If you have a dog, thank God for your dog. If you're going to a job, they say, well, thank you for my job. And I just want to ask you to bless that man or that lady, whoever your boss is. And I just want to ask that you bless that person. Lord, use me today to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth, whatever you take me today. It's a choice. It's a choice. So, but it all starts when we pray. We're in the Word, we're praying. We need to pray for wisdom. Can you imagine Solomon coming to be the king of God's people, of Israel? So what do you want? He didn't ask for a Lamborghini. Okay, Lord, can we just win a national championship, please? Lord, can we just win the Lombardi Trophy? Say, Lord, you know what I need? I need wisdom. We all need wisdom. Sometimes, listen, we say things, I was like, oh my word, what did I just say? Because we're not asking for wisdom. We need to be wise. We need to ask for wisdom. We need to come. When Israel was the most effective, when they would go to war as one man. We are one at First Baptist. We are one. We are number one. Maybe we need to get some of those hands that say, "Numero uno!" And then we can play uno. We're number one. We need to come, okay? Got to be here. We're one body. See, if you're part of this body and you don't come, the body's incomplete. We're one body in Christ. We need to congregate. And we need to give access. Give access. Give God access to every situation. He knows we're in the boat. Listen, we're in the boat. And he's in the boat with us. Wake him up. He's never lost a battle. Not one. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He said, let there be light, let there be the world, there's the earth, let all the stars. One word, boom, it happened. He knows your situation. He knows our struggles. But we got to give him access. I love Revelation 3:20. He says, I am at the door and I'm knocking. Whoever opens the door, I will come in. Sometimes we think we are in an island here. Our Lord, when is this going to end? And then Lord said, won't you just let me in? I resurrect the dead. Wow. Christ goes to battle with us. Let me in. I got this. I got this. I got this. I don't know what you may be going through today. Maybe you're going through a storm. And you just need to stand up. Say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. For the just shall live by faith. He wants us to step in the water. I got this, Lord. I got this. Just give me access to it. I'll send you a code. Put it in, and I'll get in. And I'll show you what you need to do. Maybe you're here today and you do not know God. There's a difference between knowing about God, knowing biblical stories, and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. God wants to live in you, wants to give you a new life. Be born again. He loves you. He cares for you. And he has and wants the best.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 16, I Worship You, Almighty God.
Brother Jimmy Hester, please come. Miss Dottie, you can come with him, please. Brother Jimmy introduced me to boiled peanuts this week. Now you got to teach me how to eat them, brother. I think I ate the whole thing. All right. Anyway, it's part of the culture. We're so excited, Brother Jimmy. He wants to become a member of First Baptist Church. Amen. And so he's coming by statement. He said, I want to be, and we will look at the details later, what we need to do, but coming from a sister church within our association, and so we are excited. I know Miss Dottie is excited, and I'm looking forward to working with you and serving with you, my brother. You have any words that you'd like to say?
My mother would be happy, brother.
All right. Amen. Amen. Well, it's exciting. We're very happy. You're such a blessing, Miss Dottie. We're excited to have you. So we're going to go ahead and pray, and we just want to come and congratulate him and give him a hug. Not too tight, please. All right. We do have an advisory meeting today and have a few things that you have your bulletin there. Deacons meeting on the 1st, and, of course, 39ers are going to meet. As well, a brotherhood breakfast on the 14th are coming up. And remember our Thanksgiving meal on the 24th. If you have any more questions, it's right here, or call Melanie. And excited that you're here. Brother Vic, will you dismiss us in prayer, please? And then we'll come and congratulate our hermano Jim. Thank you. Amen.